T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going right to the dial pad guest line right now. Man who needs no introduction. He looks fantastic. What's the official title these days? It's like you're linked as the GM, but you got the promotion. President of Basketball Ops, Bob Myers, with us here on 95.7 The Game.
That's about right. That's about right.
There we go.
So great.
Good enough. Good enough.
How's your summer treating you?
Good, man. It was July was kind of hectic, but
you don't say.
Yeah, there you go. It was, but the good news, our sport, unlike baseball, where free agency just drags and drags, right. it was done fast. Not all of it, but the Yeoman's work was done in early July. The whole league. You guys saw how much money was spent. I think it's kind of too fast from where I sit, but it is what it is. And then it kind of slowed down, but getting Kavon done and doing some stuff later on, Willie Cauley-Stein. And then we're doing a lot of coaching stuff and just this. So it's busy. Busy.
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here?
Great question.
Yeah.
Well, we can go see it after there.
Yeah.
Go see it. Low can come. Just low.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
No,
it's the famous one of the group.
It takes too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
Now, I love this. You're one of the billions?
You know what?
One of the billions. That's
right.
What do you mean by too much? Or like a whole
make it plain. Thank you.
He's a good sport. It's just, it's fine. Sometimes it's just too much. It seems like a nice guy.
Oh, I love this guy.
Interesting. It seems like a nice guy.
Boss, man, here's this.
Yeah.
Myers, let me tell you something. He doesn't set the rundown.
Myers.
So you guys get off to a slow start this year. Listen. You're going to be calling him. Hey, we need some favorable coverage. Listen. I don't have any say over it.
Hey. I heard you're applying for this job. Yeah. I know Lakob. I can help with that.
Okay.
Lackey deal.
Yeah. Okay. So now here's what it is. I am not beneath shilling or anything that you may need. I will sink to the lowest of the lows. This place is beautiful and living a block away. I want full access. So whatever it's going to take.
Yes.
I am not below groveling.
Yes.
Whatever you need.
If that doesn't work, I'll take care. Not a lackey, but I'll get you tickets or something like that.
Yeah,
if the Lakob lackey thing doesn't play.
Do you need a lackey?
No, I'm good. I need a baby.
So do I, man. Come on. So do I. I'm bringing the little one to Monday Night Raw in a few weeks.
Great.
That's going to be the first thing he's going to see here. We got seats right there. Section 4, right there. Monday
Night Raw.
Is that
okay? For how old is your...
Two and a half.
Is that going to be...
2.5 is pretty good.
He's already got him, hitting his little brother with pillows and coming
off
the top
rope. Okay, so he's raising one of those.
Yeah, he climbs up on the couch. He knows the Macho Man, so he gets up and he does the number ones. And to my wife's dismay, he's been doing that every day. He's doing it naked because he's potty training.
Wow.
So it's a whole thing. That's what I'm dealing with.
Your wife's a good human being.
She's great.
The best.
Nikki's,
you got a good wife.
Nikki
it's not a better half. Like, she's the better full.
You did a good
and
job.
And then I'm the crap left over that goes out and works every now and again.
That was actually part of their wedding vows.
I had that written in. Yeah, I'm borrowing from myself here.
Let me get this thing back on track.
Yeah, thanks, Flo. Appreciate that, Lo.
Yeah, this should be good.
Thank you.
How big was it and how important was it for you guys to sign Looney and Draymond?
Good question.
It was big. We don't have the amount of continuity. We had so much continuity for the last four or five years, which is great. Which is, you want that that familiarity amongst, especially in basketball, where it's one ball, you got to get to know each other's nuances. And,
sure.
But very quickly, we saw most of the team go away. And so Looney gave us a chance to have some of that continuity with Clay, Draymond, and Steph. And Steve loves – we all love Looney, and it's been great to watch him evolve from when we drafted him, change his body, been through a couple injuries. And prior to signing Looney, I remember I was in New York because I had to go out there to see Kevin, and I couldn't get back here because free agency was happening. So I couldn't get on a plane for 5 hours because that's too much time to be unavailable, even though you can text and everything on a plane. I remember where I was sitting. I was walking in Central Park. And I hadn't really slept. That was the night free agency began. And I was talking to Steve. And Steve was all the way in Hawaii. So he was 6 hours away from me. So he said, hey, we were talking. He said, we got to get Looney. And I said, we'll just say it. Hang on.
I'm a little busy.
I go, it's July 1st. Man. I go, it's July 1st.
To-do list here.
I said, it's July 1st. I said, I get it. And, and I could tell in his voice, you know, coaches have guys, right? And that's great. They, and
blue guys.
For Steve, yeah, he was like, I got no maintenance. Smart player, knows the plays. Our vets in those three guys, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, have learned to respect him. And that's not easy to get all their respect. And so he said, we got to get Looney. And Kevon, you're going to have him on. He wanted to come back. But sometimes you don't know the market of a guy. I mean, it's he could have gotten offered a ton of money, and maybe we couldn't have done that. So it was great. It was important, and he's another – people talk about the big three guys coming back. He's a fourth guy that's going to really be important for us.
The most underappreciated story of this past season was the injury he was playing through in the Toronto series.
Yeah.
Busted up ribs. I mean, that's – you mentioned it. He comes back, and it's with Kevin's injury and everything else that was taking place, that got lost in the shuffle, in my opinion. And you've been through injuries like that. Grueling to try to get out there. And Gasol was going right for him every time.
You know, that's interesting because he was there was a point in the game in Toronto where – and I heard this later because that was the same night I think Kevin got hurt. And so we were in the back, and then we saw Looney come in. And everybody's like, wow. You know, we knew he was playing hurt.
Right.
And, you know, the best part of that was Kevon wanted to keep playing, and Andre Iguodala basically hit him, like, you can't play, man. You got to get out of the game. And you know, that's like a teammate in professional sports going, you thanks for trying. That's a teammate telling you, you're done. And Kevon kind of, because at some point you got to use, he couldn't lift his arm up.
Couldn't move.
And, no, it's hard because you want, guys like that, but now, you know, you want to protect. It's such a hard dynamic. It's like in the Super Bowl, if he had something going on, that's our Super Bowl, and he wants to play, and that's what you play all year, all your whole life for, and then to not be able to do it, it's almost like you get put in this place where you go, if there's anything I can do, I'm going to try and play. And but yeah, man, he's that's kind of who he is. We had a lot of guys like that. We're fortunate.
And how hard was that, the frustration of the Kevin Durant part of that with the injury and Kevin wanting to come back and then the narrative maybe being that he's being pushed back and all of the disinformation, and yet all he wants to do is play basketball. How tough was it, not only obviously with the injury, but leading up to it and having to deal with all the misinformation that was out there?
That's part of it. You know, it's hard because that's the time of year, again, like the Super Bowl. It's nothing else to talk about but the NBA Finals. And so whether it's that or anything else, everything gets heightened, and sometimes things get heightened, and there's got to be, you know, you guys got to do your show. Everybody's got to have a comment on it and an opinion. And, you know, you try to get as informed as you can, but sometimes, you know, we're not just giving out all kinds of information. So people have the right, and they think, well, this is what I think. And sometimes what people think can be damaging, you know, but I understand it's your job. You know, you may say some, or you guys, that's okay. That's your job. But that does, it is something we got to deal with. And we deal with the best we can. But most importantly, what was hard was those guys were hurt.
Right.
That's what we deal with. The hard part for us is we're trying to win a championship and they can't play. And then when Clay got hurt, I mean, man, that one was just, at some point you just say, this isn't supposed to happen.
Right.
This is not supposed to happen. And, you know, because we were in that game, and maybe, you know, you don't want to go back, but maybe we win that game and see what happens in a game seven. But that one, too, when I was back in the locker room and the doc kind of says, hey, he might be an ACL. I was like, what are you talking? You know, what do you mean? Like, Kevin just had an Achilles the game before, and now we got ACL. And at that point, I was just, well, honestly, I hate to say this, I was watching that game six at our last game at Oracle, just sitting there watching, thinking, I hope nobody gets hurt.
No.
That's not what you want to be thinking in an NBA Finals game. You want to be thinking of it. But anyway.
How do you protect guys from yourself? Because, you know, I've been out there on the field and go in the locker room, take the Toradol, whether it's in the neck, whether it's, Epidural in the neck or whatever it may be, or shot in the butt. And you want to play. Guys want to play. So it's like, what's that balance, you know, when you're like, you know, I saw you grab Clay. You're like, Clay, come on. We're getting. Yeah. You have to go out there and physically grab him. This guy's going to want to still go out. How do you protect guys? And how far do you let him? Because you know how we are. We're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's the Super Bowl, whatever it may be. I don't care. I play with a rip hamstring, whatever, any means necessary. So how do you guys find that balance where you're like, no, you can't do it.
So in that Clay story, he was in the tunnel. And he just got hurt. And he walked back and he was in the back room, and somebody ran out, one of the assistant coaches, and says, you can't go back in the game unless you shoot your free throws. So if you want to play in this game again, you got to go out and shoot.
That part was awesome.
And we didn't really know what was going on. So we walk back out, and then the fans go crazy.
That was a Rocky moment.
It was unbelievable. It was probably my favorite moment ever.
It was awesome.
But not great because this guy's hurt. So it's one of those memorable moments. So you're walking back, and Clay says, I'm shooting the free throws. Because he said, if I don't shoot them, I can't play. And we said, So he said, I'm shooting the free throws. So I grabbed Clay. I said, listen, shoot the free throws. Do not run back on. Just shoot the free throws and stay there. Just stay at the free. Do not run back. He shoots the free throws.
He runs back.
Yes. And so what are you talking? I mean, so I'm sitting there in my role. I'm semi-important, and I'm telling the guy, don't do this. But maybe you would have done the same. Hey, Lo, make this one play. Just don't move. And then all of a sudden, you're blocking
somebody, and
you come back, and I go, what are you doing? And you go, hey, I just – what I do. It's a Super Bowl,
defense.
Man. So I don't know. I will say this, even in football now, guy gets his bell rung.
Right.
Used to be – nothing.
No. It's crazy. Now.
Right? They put him on the tent, but that's probably better, right? I mean, it's better, isn't it? I mean, to just make sure the guy doesn't have anything going. So it's getting better. Basketball's got stuff like that. It'll never be perfect. It just can't.
No sport
we're talking
will.
About human beings. It's a boxer throwing the towel. I don't know. I mean, you know, that's hard to do.
Bob Myers with us here on 95.7 The Game. I know we only have a couple minutes left with you. Peter King, who's one of the best in the business at covering football, he has access to these stories where he will take you behind the scenes and lay out the 48 hours it took to sign this guy or to trade for this guy. I know you can't get into all the details, but what was that situation like, start a free agency with Durant? You guys are obviously trying to bring him back into the mix. You know there's other teams recruiting him, the chance you could lose him. And then D'Angelo Russell ends up with the Warriors. I know it's going to be impossible to bring this down to 2 or 3 minutes, but like, what was just take me through that.
That was crazy. I was in New York.
Are you sleeping at all?
Not much. I mean, I'd flown out, not a lot. So that day when I saw Kevin, I'd left after we talked, and I was with him for a couple hours. We talked about a lot of different things, and I left, and it was the Gay Pride Parade in New York City, which was fine, which is great. I walked out. I didn't know where I was. I kind of got swept up in the parade. And I'm trying to call Joe and say, hey, you know, he's not coming back. What are we going to do? You know, blah, blah, blah. And so first of all, I couldn't hear anything, and I didn't. I was in Greenwich Village, and so I was trying to get around. So I found finally an area. So I started calling. You know, I called Joe and said, "Hey, this is the deal," and called the people I work with in my front office, and I said, "Here's what we want to try and do now. We want to see what we can do with him. Go like what options do we have? What can we do?" And then we had, you know, people forget Kevin didn't have to do anything as far as cooperate. Brooklyn had space to sign him, which means Kevin could have said, see you later.
Bye-bye.
So I talked to his guy, talked to Kevin, said, if we figure out some kind of sign and trade, will you work with us? And he, you know, he's like, yeah, we'll figure something out. I didn't know we'd have to figure it out that night. So I was in New York City. I didn't go to bed till 4 or something in the morning. But the crazy thing was the whole league was still working. Because I was back, Joe and his son Kirk Lacob and our other assistant GM Larry Harris were back in L.A. And I said, we may have this thing going with Russell, D'Angelo Russell. Can you go to his agent's office and see his people? So it was all kind of, Joe, it'd be fascinating. Like, I've always wanted myself to go to the baseball winter meetings or the NFL Combine. Because I've seen the NBA. It's fun. It's crazy. But my words, you got to just be sitting there. And I think what you would walk away. This free agency was like a stockbroker on the floor. That's how crazy that was. Buy, sell, it was just insane. And when you don't get something done, it's gone. So there's a finite amount of time to get a deal done. Because and these players, the ones that are great, they move fast. You know, they're not sitting there. Like Bryce Harper sat there for two months, right? These guys said, our guys are bam. Like, they're gone fast, and that's no recovering. So
Did you know,
I'd tell you the whole thing.
Man.
But it's there's a lot riding on it, too, because that's your moment. You don't get stuff done, and people come to the arena, and, it's not as good as we want it to be. So it's fast.
Guys caught up in a parade in Greenwich Village.
Trying to wheel and deal on Durant.
That's crazy, bro. That's
crazy.
Like, I wore the wrong shoes over here today. I got blisters. Those are my problems.
Someone in the parade is like, you don't want to be here. I said, I got no problem with the parade. It's fine. I just got to work.
Right.
I can't work.
America in 2019.
That's crazy.
Poor guy is caught up.
I said, no, this is fine. I'm okay, but I got to get on the
only 6'6 guy in the crowd with his thumb to his ear.
That's phenomenal.
When you see Steph the other day was playing in Mr. Fab's tournament.
Yeah.
when you see him out there, do you get nervous?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, of course.
Sure. The clip where Fab knocks down the winner, Steph's just very casual. He's wearing the old Warrior shorts that he wore for the parade a couple years ago. He's just very casually jogging down the court, but you're sitting there and you're like, damn,
what
Steph.
You
can't bubble wrap him, but still.
You know what? We joke. He comes to practice, and I go, thanks for taking some time to come to our practice today.
He's got TV shows. He's got his wife's doing his cooking. But he
ran my kids' camp in Oakland all summer. Yeah, no,
you know what he's great at that I envy him for is he is great at having fun. He is so good at that. I envy that because I'm not built like that. So as the journey goes, having been around him for 8 years, that type of experience, that stuff, he just has a way. If you come to our first shoot around, he's kicking the ball, throwing it up. Even in between games where he's getting criticized, he always has this lightness about him.
Right.
Which in professional sports, man, it's hard to find.
It really is.
It's hard to find.
How do you find that balance? Because you've been, been on the top of the mountain for a while. How do you find the balance of it's just a job and it's still a game? When you're playing, or if the team's not as well, what's that? You know what I mean? Because I lost, and my people don't want to be around me.
Yeah.
I lose a game.
Yeah.
I'm not fun to be around.
Yeah.
How do you find that balance?
That's especially tough.
It is.
It's tough. I mean, when we were the morning, I was going to fly out to see Kevin in New York. I was sitting with my daughter, and she said, "Daddy, you got to go to New York." I said, "Yeah." My 9-year-old, I said, and my 7-year-old, they kind of get it a little bit. And I said, "They said, what if he doesn't come back?" And I said, "Well." I said, all that is he's just picking a different place to go to work. That doesn't mean, you stop. What if one of your friends went to a different school? Does that mean they're bad people or you don't like your friendship with them? So to that point, though, the problem is this is, I don't know how you guys live in your life, but I can't. I want it to be that way, but it's just not. Because most people's job, they don't go to the coffee shop and they go, hey, great job with Looney. Like, I'm just trying to get a cup of coffee. Man. Or like, what happened last night? I'm walking down the street. People are like, you guys lost Durant. And my daughter's like, what did that guy say, Daddy? And I was like, nah, he's just, nah, nah. I don't know. Most people's jobs, they don't get that.
Right.
So, but you go home and you go, it's my job. I love it. That's a part of it. And but you can't. The hardest thing is the family, right? Because I don't know if you're married or whatever, but in the professional sports, you're kind of bringing your family along for the ride. Taking your kids to Raw when they're 2.5 years old, and stuff like that. Stuff that doesn't make sense.
Good parents. Doesn't make any sense. She looked at me, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about it. This is going to be great. It's going to be great. The building's right over there, so you don't have anything to worry about.
You're going
to
have just one kid tonight, honey.
I read this a while ago in a story. I wanted to ask you about this. Tell me about these pickup games you play with Kobe. Where's this down at Westwood?
No, that was a long time ago.
You guys don't do that anymore?
Long time ago. No more. No, when I first started in the business, Arn Tellem represented Kobe.
Yeah.
He's the first guy. When I interned as an agent, first guy, I remember this, I walked into Brentwood, L.A., where I'm to UCLA, and sat down and was waiting to meet with Arn. Kobe walks into the office, and he had on a Joe Montana. Remember the retro jersey?
Yeah,
he had a Joe Montana thing. And Kobe, this is the genius, and you may have played with athletes like this. I just met him that day. Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm my intern here. Okay, great. And he found a way to tell me he's going to win 10 championships. And he was 19, 20 years old. And he looked at me like, this is what's going to happen for me. And you look at him, you go, you're crazy. Nobody's winning 10 championships. But he had this bravado that I think, for some people made him hard to deal with. But that's the type of guy you want in your organization. He would destroy to win. I mean, he has his competitiveness, the highest level. Competitor.
There's that story of him over in London for the Olympics where he was on the Olympic team, and someone tells the story at the team doctor where he went and he called the guy at 3 a.m. and said, I'm going to go get my workout in. I need to be stretched out and all that. So the guy goes, Kobe's putting up shots. He goes through this whole routine. It's like 3 hours long. Kobe says goodbye to the guy. Guy goes back, gets some sleep. It's like 10:30. He wakes up. He comes back to the gym because the team's practice is going to start. So like Melo's there and other guys are just warming up. Guy walks in. Kobe's still there shooting. Kobe's been there for 7 hours working. He sees Kobe, and Kobe's like, hey, did you get some sleep? He's like, yeah, what about you? He goes, no, I'm just finishing up my routine, and now we're getting ready for practice. He went through 6 or 7 hours of working out for the Olympic team before he even started the practice, which was a full-on scrimmage.
There's certain guys, like Michael Jordan was that way. Like Steve Kerr will tell B.J. Armstrong, who used to work with, tell me stories about Michael Jordan. They'd be out or something. It'd be 2 a.m, and he'd say, look, let's 5 o'clock in my room and start watching film of the game the other team are going to play. And it's just inhuman. Like, these guys don't need sleep. I mean, it's crazy. And I don't know if that's the competitiveness that drives them, but the way I think their mind works is they are going to find an edge. Nobody's going to outwork them. And they have this fear of being outworked or beaten. And I think, you know, and as an athlete, when you're around people like that, Draymond's got a little bit of this. They so hate that feeling of losing, they have to do every single thing to avoid. They don't love winning. Kobe Bryant doesn't love him. He just hates to lose. And that's a bigger driver than winning. You know, like, you know, gambling, stuff like that. It's like,
yeah.
People that
I'm trying not to lose, I'll tell you that
much. But here's the problem, though, with gambling. To actually gamble, you got to love to win. Because if you just hate to lose, you're not going to be a gambler. Mm-hmm. You got to like the winning. But some of these professional athletes, the best, they hate to lose so much. But that makes them kind of hard to be around people. Like, Steph's not like that. Steph enjoys it. But certain guys Kevin Garnett was that way. Just hate to lose. Can't lose. Can't have that feeling. But that's where you get guys like that. And Kobe's certainly one of them. But fantastic player. Unbelievable.
There's, like, no easy way to do this. But, like, Lakeb's here. I'm not trying to kick you out. But what do I do? I keep him waiting? Yeah. Like, what are you doing in this spot?
You start thinking about it. Yeah. You know what he likes?
He looks good.
No, vintage cars. Bring that up with the lackey. You're going to
make
that.
Do I look like a guy that has any knowledge on vintage cars? what kind of advice is that?
Ask about that.
Tell him you get him a Studebaker.
I got my pitch ready, all right? You know, if you thought I was big, I'm not going for lackey. I'm actually aiming higher. It was all a big ruse to get him over.
Gotcha. And you settle for lackey.
He'll get to a point where he just caves. He's like, fine, you can be the lackey. He's like, yes.
He's hired.
Bob Myers, thank you so much. Joe Lowe and Denzard, 95.7 The Game. Thank you very much.
We'll take it easy.
I'll come down.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.